Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to a breaking news edition of For All You Kids Out There, Mets Adjacent Baseball Perspectives Podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me on the car phone is Jarrett Seidler. Jarrett, we'll get right into it because we're on a little bit of a time crunch here. Celebrating Puerto Rico's win against the Dominican Republic to send them on to the World Baseball Classic quarterfinals. Edwin Diaz tore his patellar tendon and will likely be out for the year.
They've been very careful to not actually say he's out for the year. Sure. Like very, very, very careful.
They have. I am going to say it's likely he is out for the year.
Yeah, that's how it's usually been framed by most of the Mets adjacent reporters. So the problem is going to be he almost certainly is going to be able to pitch by next September.
The two problems are,
is he going to be able to pitch at an effective velocity? And is he going to be able to get off the mound to field his position?
Right.
So I am fairly sure that he's going to be throwing bullpens, assuming nothing bad happens by August or September. But again, there's a difference between throwing bullpens and in-game action. You don't know whether that's quite, you know, you don't know whether he's going to be one of your most effective relievers for September.
And you get into a situation, too, where I guess the AAA season goes longer, so you can get him meaningful rehab innings if he recover, if the recovery is going ahead of schedule.
This is gonna, and Epler hinted at this, that they're not going to have an update on his availability for late in the season for a while.
Right.
So this is going to be a thing in July. They're going to, you know, how's he looking? What do we do? Do we shut him down for the season? Do we ramp him up slowly? So maybe if we get to the NLCS, he's there. Do we try and ramp him up faster?
Yeah.
These are not decisions you have to make. And when you say the general timetable, look, setting the general timetable for the injury at 8 months
is exactly
means that you have created the non. It's so Jeff Passan reports likely out for the season, which means if he's out for the season, there's no PR hit on the back end. And if he's back in September, it's yay.
There's a Star Trek: The Next Generation episode featuring Scotty. He gets trapped in a transporter loop in a Dyson sphere, if I remember correctly, and gets rescued by the Enterprise and ends up talking to Geordi LaForge about, you know, engineering and what it's like nowadays. And he would always say, like, he'd always say it would take hours longer to fix something than it actually would, so he would look like a genius.
Yeah, everybody does that, right? Now, the old Mets used to never do that. The Mets used to leak the shortest timetable possible and then shit on their players when they didn't make it. He didn't work hard enough.
It has been, I mean, this, we should say out front, this fucking sucks. I know we're like 3 minutes in. I don't think I need to say that out loud because, you know, we both have.
And look, I don't want to. I think this really sucks for Edwin Diaz. And that's, you know, there was a lot of discourse the last couple of days that just focused on absolutely everything other than, like, this became a referendum on the WBC. Yeah. People started inventing guys out of nowhere to get argue mad at, with. Yeah. Right. You know, people took Keith Olbermann's baseball. People took KFC's baseball take seriously.
Lefty baseball Twitter worked themselves into a shoot arguing that Edwin Diaz should definitely be working for free in this tournament because he wants to.
Oh, man. And now we're going to talk about all that stuff in a minute because I got a lot of thoughts. Almost nobody, there was no allowable time because everybody had to start in on their pet issues about baseball globalism and this and this and that. Mets fans, baseball fans, were not allowed to just say, hey, this sucks.
Right.
If you said, hey, this sucks, you had major figures within baseball tweeting at you that you weren't allowed to do that because it put down the WBC, or whatever.
Now, I mean, literally an MLB event, to be clear. Like,
yeah,
this is not like a magic like pickup game of baseball
at the front set. Let's say that this was one of the biggest highlight moments of Edwin Diaz's career, and the dude fucking blew out his knee in a freak accident, and that really sucks. It sucks for Edwin Diaz. It sucks for Puerto Rican baseball fans. It sucks for Mets fans. It sucks for the sport. We're allowed to say that.
Yeah.
You're not going to, this is a safe space. You're not going to get canceled here for saying that this just sucks. Now we can talk about all the other stuff. Yeah, there were three guys on Twitter who said the WBC should get canceled. And that caused the entirety of establishment. And look, the people that are doing this are now the establishment. They all have cushy jobs at a place that's owned by the New York Times, places that are owned by major financial conglomerates. Like, these people all have big jobs now. These are not, I know these are people that may have been random Twitter people 5-8 years ago. They're not random Twitter people anymore. All fighting against an enemy that exists.
Sure.
Just
I mean,
made up a guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's no,
yeah,
like,
you know, Kate tweeted the, you know, Steph fighting with somebody that's, you know, saying that Steph Curry isn't a good shooter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you went out seeking takes that the WBC should be canceled because of this injury, you found them.
Yeah.
This is a
corollary to, you can find a scout that'll say anything. You can find a baseball Twitter person to say anything. Yes.
So we have had now 2 days straight of the worst faith discourse, in which any attempt to discuss whether MLB might actually invest and do interesting things with the WBC, maybe schedule it at a better time to put players less at risk. You know, maybe self-insure so they don't lose players due to insurance problems, which happened a bunch.
Yeah.
Maybe put more money into the fucking thing because the players barely get paid anything to play in this.
Yep.
Maybe find a better TV deal so this very game, which is one of the most important games in this tournament, gets fucking kicked off Fox Sports 1. Almost nobody saw this ninth inning. You could only see it if you had FS2 because they fucked up the stream, too. There was no announcement that the game was moving to FS1. If you were just staying on FS1 and you didn't read the tiny 30-second scroll at the bottom, you just got dumped into the other game and missed two at bats.
I thought you were going to say, they need a better TV deal so the games aren't broadcast by John Smoltz.
I mean, look, the semifinals and the finals of this in the United States are on FS1, which is, again, that's not a big channel. It's no
I noted
it's
not
a great channel.
On Twitter
not
before
on
we
Fox
started
broadcast.
Recording. They're not. Like, they're doing good numbers for Fox Sports. Like, they're
Absolutely.
Doing, their primetime stuff's doing, like, the bigger games are doing, like, .3s. So
let's do a short history of the World Baseball Classic. The World Baseball Classic started in 2006 as a Bud Selig project, driven in large part by Rob Manfred, who was already a key figure in the league office at that time. And it was started to push two things. One, it was started because the IOC got pissy about baseball because MLB wouldn't allow major league players to play and started making noises about axing the sport. And two is that MLB has had an initiative for decades now called One Baseball, which is the idea that they want MLB to control the entirety of baseball.
Yes.
They want.
It's not even control necessarily. They just want their cut, is how I put it on Twitter.
It's not even, I don't even, they want MLB and baseball to be synonymous.
Yes, that's a fair
way to put
it.
They've done a really good job at that.
They have.
Yes, they've done a really good, so this is a tournament which is owned and controlled by Major League Baseball in
They are
collaboration
the
with
ones
the
selling the
World
TV
Baseball
rights
Softball
to Fox
Confederation.
Sports and to whoever, and I think it's like ESPN Plus in Australia or, whoever, wherever they're selling it. Everybody talked about how
Tubi. There were a couple of games on Tubi.
Tubi, which I think is technically owned by Fox, but like everyone marveled at the ratings for the Japanese games. I'm sure MLB sold the rights to those Japanese networks. I don't know if the MPB got a cut or what, but.
This was not intended to be this great global event that belongs to all of baseball. It was specifically intended to be an MLB event.
Yes.
Michael
And
Bauman wrote a piece at Fangraphs that went up yesterday that goes into this history that I think is very important. It's very important to understand that when you are talking about the WBC, you are talking about MLB, the league.
yes.
That is the entity.
No,
They
that's
make the
not that's I
rules.
that's not to
They
say
set.
that it hasn't become bigger than that in a lot of ways. But that's
It
still
has
the underpinning
absolutely
here, yeah.
become bigger than
To the
that.
benefit of MLB, to be clear.
To the benefit of and without the investment of MLB. And that's key. Every Look, there are issues with this tournament that are going to be issues. The scheduling is going to be a problem no
Even if
matter
they do
where
it
it is
during the
because
All-Star
of,
break, like has been suggested,
right, because
there's
then you
still
have
going to
the
be
KBO involved, you got an
pitching
MPB.
limitations.
Teams are never going to be
You are
happy about
not
trying to
going to
schedule
see
their
Max
pitchers.
Scherzer and Sandy Alcantara going out there and dueling for 7 innings apiece in one of these
Correct.
games.
Correct. Well, you would, but you would not only need the buy-in of the league, but you would need the buy-in of every single owner and player. Let's talk about slightly more realistic stuff. The scheduling of this tournament is a problem.
It is.
It's a problem in two ways. One is that now that this tournament, and I would say that this aspect of it probably started in 2017. You really started to notice this in 2017. First couple WBCs were not that big. They were just kind of events that happened in the background of spring training. Started to become a bigger deal, especially in the Asian countries, Japan, Korea. And then that kind of started to trickle. 2013, it becomes a little bit bigger. 2017 is the first time they got a real TV deal. So 2017, it becomes a bigger, then now 2017, it's a much bigger event. And now 2023, it's become a significantly bigger event than it was even in 2017. And to be honest, I don't really know the reasons for
Yeah,
that, but it
it's
just
a,
has been.
it
It's
has been.
become,
Yeah, I was.
Right. It's
I mean, I think some of it
an
was.
organic growth.
It is an organic growth. Yeah, that's fair. And you've got like
So,
grass, like you've got the, like the bat flips and Nerds Crew really pumping the Great Britain stuff online and.
I've seen people suggest that this is because the generation of players that is now playing in this, the guys that are 20, 25, 28, grew up with the WBC
Sure.
existing.
That's true. And
So
but I
it
also
is
don't
now,
think
right, you saw.
I may or may not write about this for Monday, so it's kind of writing about planning on writing about this before the Edwin Diaz thing, and it's both kind of plays into my thesis, but also I think just is bigger than it, so it makes it difficult to write about the tournament writ large in some ways. It's just become such a dominant narrative and discourse. But man, this it, I'll say this: the Colombia Mexico game is one of the best games of baseball I've ever seen, live or otherwise. It was an incredible experience. I'll also say I was like the fourth most famous American baseball writer in that press box, so it's not actually getting a ton of.
And a lot of the people that had credentials
There's a
in
lot of
those
foreign
shows are the
press,
same ones that are writing these articles right
yeah. There's a lot
now.
of foreign
But
press, and which is fine. That's good, right? Like, you were surprised that there are probably 6 or 7 different Japanese outlets in a pool that Japan wasn't playing in a location they weren't going to play in. But it is a big deal. Like, covering the Colombia Mexico game is a big deal because the WBC is a big deal.
what you have now is you have a tournament that to many players, baseball people, coaches, managers,
it's the World Cup.
People,
it's like legend. It's not the World Cup, people but to them it feels like it.
Right. To players, especially players not from the United States, although there are some players from the United
States. Mike Trout.
Feel this way. This is now bigger than the World Series. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. There's
it
absolutely
is, yeah.
nothing. It's actually cool that that yes. happened organically and that baseball now has an international tournament of that type, because it did not. That has never happened in the history of baseball. Baseball is
even with the,
for a long
with the Olympics,
time.
Yeah, yeah,
right. And 40-man roster players weren't. They wouldn't even let 40-man roster minor leaguers,
right?
So that's very cool that that happened. But here's the problem. You now have, like, Edwin Diaz is a freak injury. Let's put that one to
sure.
the side. Freddie Freeman tweaked his hamstring. He's going to be out a week. It's fine.
Right.
Those are nice. The problem is you have Camilo Doval,
mm-hmm.
who's a very good major league reliever.
Right.
You have Shohei Ohtani, who's
yeah.
the best baseball player on the planet. These guys are sitting 2 or 3 miles an hour harder than their normal touch velocity in the second week of March. If they are going to take this tournament that seriously, and this tournament is going to mean so much to the players playing in it, it can't be in the fucking second week of March.
Yeah.
It just can't. Guys are going to get hurt bad if that happens. You can't do this. You can't leave these players out to hang like this. So now, what are solutions to that? Well, the solution, which had kind of been the de facto solution up until this year, was that players hadn't really been doing, but now you have players going absolute 120%
yeah.
effort. If you have players going 120% effort, they have to be safely ramped up first. So you have a couple of different options.
I don't know
point.
What Guillermo Zuniga was throwing on the side in West Palm, but I'm guessing
right.
it wasn't 102 like he was pumping to Alex Verdugo.
Right. You have guys that are having World Series type adrenaline spikes in this, which is great.
Yes,
it's great for the game. We got to talk about making it safer, though.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Max Scherzer. Before all of this happened, earlier this week, before Edwin Diaz got hurt, said that he would pitch in this if it was during the season.
Yeah.
His reason for not playing in the WBC is not because he doesn't support the WBC. It's because he would, like everybody else, feel like he has to throw at absolute max effort and he can't do it in March.
Yeah.
So you have three options here. One is to move it to right before opening day and condense the season a little. You know, 154-game season, and the WBC starts on March 30th.
Once every 4 years,
up.
You cut the season by 8 games. That's fine. It'd be a little weird for, like, record-keeping stuff, but
you could also do that at the end of the season, but I think you're going to have load management problems.
Yeah, it's going to be the issue on the other end, right? Yeah.
Right. You could do that during the season. The second solution, which I will call the NHL Olympic solution, is that once every 4 years, you cancel the All-Star game and you play this during the All-Star break. Now, the All-Star break would have to be extended.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that probably forces teams to set up, like, sim games to keep their pitchers on cycle. The biggest actual problem here is that MLB makes more money of the All-Star game than they do the WBC. So
I mean,
they
do for now. That might not be true in next time around. But.
Yeah. Is MLB willing to give up the All-Star game to do this as a mid-season event once every 4 years or 3 years? Or this tournament has been this tournament has been pushed back at MLB's general discretion.
Yes.
Just because
sometimes with, like, almost no notice to the relevant other relevant national teams, yeah.
Sometimes they do it every 3 years. Sometimes they do it every 4 years. So, again, you can kind of see how serious it's been taken, and the answer is not that serious. But we're here now. This is now a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that NHL Olympic option is an option. You take an extended All-Star break and cancel the All-Star game, or you play the All-Star. You can play the All-Star game with the best players that aren't on the international teams. You could do that.
You could make the Futures game a big deal in the sort of showcase piece of that weekend.
Sure, you could. That would require buy-in from NPB and KBO.
Yeah.
They're
probably
going to
get it
to
you
because, yeah, it's a big enough thing. So that's what we'll call the NHL Olympic option. And the third option, which was suggested to me by somebody on Twitter, although I don't have their username, which we'll call the European soccer model. Mm-hmm. You play it during the season, and players get called up on international duty every now and then.
Yeah, you could do it like the weekend. I mean, it's really like the qualifiers, right? The Euro qualifiers or the World Cup.
Yeah,
the Euro qualifiers are starting this weekend, and
you could combine that with the midseason option. It could instead of
you have an internet, you have a Friday to Sunday international break. Yeah,
right.
Instead of a series
entire,
for everybody every so often.
Instead of the entire tournament being played during a 2-week All-Star break. You could play from the round of eight down during the typical 5-day All-Star break. And before that, you have a couple weekends where there's no MLB action because the players are on international duty. Or there can be MLB action and they're just missing the players on international duty. That
teams will not be happy about that.
Soccer.
I mean,
of course
it does have
MLB happy.
Yeah.
Of course they're not going to be happy, but we're talking about solutions to do this better.
Yes, no, I...
And, you know, if you're going to get buy-in where all of these players are going to play, and you're going to play it more safely, you can't have the tournament be in the second week in March.
Right.
The tournament exists in the second and third week of March because that is the time period where MLB makes the most money with the least inconvenience to everything else they're making money on. That's why it's here. It's not because it's the best time for the tournament. It's here because it's the best time for Major League Baseball, the league entity, which is a different thing. Now, I personally love the WBC. I've been in on the WBC. I went to it in 2009 and 2013. I thought about going to it this year. I wasn't able to make the scheduling work for some other reasons, but I love the WBC. I've watched a ton of these games. If you love the WBC, we should be finding ways to make it a better and more important tournament, a tournament that is worthy of the amount of effort that players like Edwin Diaz are putting into it. But now this has become a third rail issue where if you suggest that the WBC is not already perfect, you're anti-globalization of baseball and you're this and this and that. And that's not good. That is an anti-labor position.
It is, yep.
Like, it's just, it's an anti... Again, Major League Baseball, the league entity, is fucking great at splitting people left of center into anti-labor positions. Look, they've done it with me and you on international player issues.
Yeah.
They've done it on domestic violence issues. Because they are so good at putting people whose interests should be aligned on different sides of a contentious issue. MLB is great at that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is now a thing, whereas, you know, it doesn't have to be a thing. We can just kind of all sit down. If you were constructing, we've done this exercise before at the minor leagues. If you were constructing the WBC, would it look anything like it looks right now?
No.
The answer is obviously no. So what do you do? And I don't know what of those options is better. I don't know if there's intermediate options.
There's always going to be a club and country tension here, but that's true in soccer. It's certainly true for the NHL and hockey.
I mean,
yeah.
If you listen to that Billy Epler press conference, you did not need to read many lines to see that they did not want Edwin Diaz going to this tournament.
Right.
He avoided saying that.
Right.
But there was a very clear implication that they tried to get Edwin Diaz to not go to this tournament.
Sure.
And
look, and
that's not a Mets thing. Almost nobody wanted their good pitchers in this tournament.
No.
To the extent that teams were able to block them, most of them did. including the Mets, that Epler did concede during this press conference that Starling Marte wanted to play in this tournament, and they refused to clear him.
Right.
And they had the contractual right based on certain things.
Because of the injury, yeah.
That they didn't have to clear Marte. They did not have the contractual right to block Edwin Diaz, and Diaz went.
And, like, Marte literally flew down and sat behind home plate. That's how much he likes it, so.
Right.
I guess he didn't even have to probably fly.
Look, this injury is going to be used by clubs in 2026.
It's going to be used by insurance companies even more than the clubs, I think, but yes.
I'm getting there. Right. I'm getting there. Right. We're getting there. Yeah. It's going to be used. The teams are going to sit down and say, man, you know, we lost Edwin Diaz. The Mets lost Edwin Diaz for the season. You know, we really don't want you going. And if there's any edge case where the team has the ability to block and might not have for 2023, they're going to look at this and go, hell yeah, we're blocking this. The insurance issue is going to be a much bigger issue. MLB, one of the block criteria is teams can block players if MLB's insurance company will not insure them. The fact that a $20 million player went out for the season in a weird injury fashion, and that insurance payment is being paid out, that was reported by The Athletic this morning, to the Mets, means that there are going to be many fewer the actuaries are going to be much more careful insuring players next time. That's what happens when these big money insurance payments come out. This has been a problem for pitchers in the normal contract.
It was perhaps an issue for Carlos Correa literally this past offseason.
Premiums get higher when bad stuff has happened previously.
That is how the insurance industry works, yes.
So it is, yeah, you used to work in the insurance industry.
Yes, that is slightly an oversimplification, but not that much of an oversimplification.
Right. You know, you were kind of hinting at it. It is not only going to be more expensive, but it's going to be harder to get insurance on these players next time around because of this injury, even though this was a freak weird injury.
Right.
But it was a freak weird injury that was created by the circumstances of the tournament.
Right. The actuarial model does not know that it was a freak weird injury. It just knows that it was an injury that had to pay out a certain amount of money.
Right. So that's going to... So now you've got a situation where this tournament means more and more, and there's probably going to be a tension where more and more players are going to either be blocked or strongly discouraged from playing, which was already a discourse that was happening before the Edwin Diaz injury, all of the discourse about, you know, why are all the American players sitting out from this? Mm-hmm. Brendan Nimmo got caught up in that. Max Scherzer got caught up in it. Noah Syndergaard got caught up in it. So... this is another problem that MLB could solve with money. They could just fucking self-insure. They have enough money to do it.
Absolutely do.
Yeah. Right. Of course they do. It's not written in stone in
I'm sure there's probably some weird thing about the league paying out team contracts, but it's not really paying out team contracts, right? It's insurance and insuring. You're just giving them a amount of money.
You could make this problem.
It's like
somebody will insure these contracts if you pay them enough money to do so. This is a problem you can make.
At that point, it probably should be MLB because you can probably give the best rate.
Of course, it should be.
Yeah.
Where's this? You brought this up on Twitter. I thought this was a very apt statement. We know what is being paid out to the National Baseball Federations and to the players as a result of from the prize pool. Do we know that that's all the revenue from the tournament?
I doubt it
If not, where's that going?
Like, how much? Like, the Czech Republic has obviously been a great story, and like Shohei Ohtani is wearing their hat on the trip to Miami. Like, it is a great story. How about you invest some money in Czech Republic baseball?
Now, they are doing that.
They are, yes.
I know they've done that in England. I know they've done that in Israel. I assume they've probably done that in the Czech Republic, and I just don't know about it.
Mm-hmm. But they're doing MLB, the whole... This is another European soccer thing. Every time, like, England plays the Faroe Islands or whatever, they talk about all the day jobs that the players have, and they were doing that with the Czech team as well.
including Martin Taranko, who used to be a prospect of moderate note. I wanted to talk, and I'm guessing you did too, although we didn't discuss this. So we have now been going for
half hour.
I don't know, half hour. And we have not mentioned the impact on the Mets. And
I was
going
to eventually
that.
Try to train. I had a good transition and everything, and you stepped all over it.
I am making a point here.
All right.
This is an injury that happened to Edwin Diaz personally, and the greatest impact is in the international baseball realm. It's an injury that happened while he was playing for his national team. It has a very significant short-term impact on the national team.
Right.
There were a lot of complaints on Wednesday night and Thursday morning that Mets fans were being self-centered assholes for focusing on, oh my God, what the fuck are the Mets going to do? That was a very common complaint going around. So I wanted to not discuss the impact on the Mets because we are adults and we can do multiple things at one time. Sure. So we have properly centered the impact on Edwin Diaz and the Puerto Rican baseball team. So I assume it's okay to talk about the Mets release situation now.
Sure, you're on one today, but yeah, no surprise there.
Yeah, you get subtweeted enough by the same people that have, you know, whatever.
So there was also I've also seen tweets that mostly from like 2010 Sabre people, like, this is not actually a big loss to the Mets bullpen. Man, I got news for you.
Yeah,
but I think David Robertson will be a above average closer, right?
Look, if you wrote for Baseball Prospectus in the late 1990s or 2000s, or you wrote for Beyond the Box Score in the 2000s, and you don't understand that, like, you people were the ones that fucked up reliever chaining.
Yes.
Like, and now you are saying that because of your previous fuck-ups that we can't analyze this correctly. Like, go fuck yourself. And yeah, I'm talking about exactly the two people you think I'm talking about. And I have very little respect for either of those people, frankly. They both know where to find me. One of them certainly has no trouble doing it.
I saw that FanGraphs moved the Mets bullpen ranking from like 4th to 19th. I think that's probably a bit too much, but yeah, I mean, this is probably a very average bullpen now.
If you look at a model, this is going to cost them about 2 wins.
Yep.
I think that's probably understating it, again, because most of these models don't handle reliever leverage and chaining well.
Yeah.
You know, Edwin Diaz was worth about 3.5 wins above average last year by WPA. Probably wasn't going to be quite that good again.
Mm-hmm.
But you start talking, and again, the replacement level for a reliever is not a league average reliever.
It's Santana, who the Mets just claimed today.
If you say that, you don't know what you're talking about. Which, again, the person that said that had no idea what he was talking about. So, this is – there aren't a lot of options here. They can pay out the wazoo for one of the 6 teams that aren't trying as closer.
Are the Pirates even going to, like, trade David Bednar right now? I don't think they are.
David Bednar, Alexis Diaz, Daniel Bard.
Sure.
They could do that. Yeah, if they don't pay out the nose, you're going to get a reliever that's – you know, an okay closer.
Right.
Name brand. You already got a couple of them.
Yeah, and you can go sign Zach Britton if you want. I don't think he's going to necessarily be significantly worse than
Giles,
Daniel Bard. You
can sign Corey Knebel.
Yeah.
These guys are all probably better than Dennis Santana.
Hunter, or whoever's actually taking those innings now.
Maybe the Mets finally figured out, like, intermediate.
Maybe it's maybe it's literally
optimization.
I suggest this in a group chat. Maybe it's literally John Curtis, who has kind of been this guy in the past.
Right. So assuming the Mets have actually figured this out, maybe this isn't that bad. Look, the replacement level here for the Rays or the Dodgers is much higher than it is for the Mets. Not the technical replacement level, but the Rays would probably be able to conjure up a good reliever. The Dodgers would probably be able to conjure up a good reliever. And the Mets for the last 10 years have been completely unable to. The fact that they claim Dennis Santana off waivers is probably not a super great sign.
Mm-hmm.
he's okay. It's funny that after going, we're not going to claim or sign a non-optionable reliever, then they
This is a claim to try to sneak him through in 2 weeks. Is all it is.
Right. It's not that big of a deal. It's just funny.
Right. Their model tells them to claim William Woods or claim Dennis Santana. That's all it is.
Sure. Again, so, yeah, they're probably going to sign Zach Britton or Ken Giles.
Sure.
Within the next couple of days would be my guess. And that's fine. But you're talking a 2, 2.5, 3-win downslide from what you reasonably could have expected from Edwin Diaz to who they're going to replace Edwin Diaz. And that brings them from, in most of the models, a clear favorite to a much less clear favorite in the division. And they were a clear favorite in the division last year and didn't win.
Yeah.
So, it sucks. It's really bad. It's really bad for the sport that this happened in this fashion. And I think that we should be focusing that it really sucks for Edwin Diaz. Yeah. The guy went from one of the greatest moments of his career to a 6 to 9 month injury in like 90 seconds. Because again, there's no good video of what happened but as best as we can tell, they were doing like a jump around dance circle and like just too much weight landed on his knee. Which is a weird freak injury. It's not the first time that players have gotten hurt in celebrations. Kendrys Morales did. Cody Bellinger did. Cody Bellinger's career was greatly altered by a home run celebration. This is a thing that happens. It sucks. We have absolutely no idea what Edwin Diaz is going to look like when it comes back. This is his drive off the mound leg. That's not like super great.
It's not. It's not an ACL, which wouldn't be good, but has a sort of a more prescribed surgery and recovery window.
Some of the pitchers who have had patellar tendon injuries have developed chronic knee problems after it. Some of them haven't. Max Strom was fine last year.
Yeah.
So this just sucks. Yeah. It sucks that it poisoned a lot of discourse about the WBC. It sucks that it turned a bunch of people who should know better into arguing that players should play for their $20,000 paychecks in the WBC, and there's no, like, you can't say anything about that. It just sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's that.
This is not the official release preview, but it might as well be, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll do another one at some point.
Yeah, and we'll be back Sunday with another edition. But for all you kids out there,